Okay. We're still dealing with this lesson concerning divine numbers and sounds. And on last week, we talked about the research that was done by, I don't know if I'm saying his name correctly, I believe it's Masaru Emoto. And he was a Japanese researcher who claimed that human consciousness had an effect on the molecular structure of water. He believed that water could react to positive thoughts and words, and that polluted water could be cleaned through prayer and positive visualization. And then these photos are the results of his research. And I pray after this, where if you see the water molecule before offering a prayer, how it actually looked, the water molecule after offering a prayer. And even if you notice, as far as a lot of people may not realize this, but as a kid, we used to take snowflakes and put them under the microscope. As a kid, when it would snow, we gather up the snow and put it under the microscope. And these shapes that you see is actually what snow looks like under the microscope. It's exactly what they would look like, and it would be different shapes like these and these and things like that. Under the microscope, it had some of the prettiest shapes to it, and I was always amazed to see that under a microscope. And so when you look at what snowflakes are, it's basically water that has frozen, so to speak, on its way down, I guess, because of the temperature. And so, you know, based upon my or our scientific research as a kid, I know that water does shape this way. And so when you look at it, and people don't realize each snowflake is like this image here, but just different shapes like these. And again, I was always fascinated with that. And so it is true that water does take shape. Based upon my research as a kid, and based upon Dr. Emoto's research to show water before prayer, water after prayer. Thank you. You make me sick. I will kill you. Love and appreciation. And before we move further, I'll just pray. And then we'll jump right into this a little bit further. And we'll share some things with you as the Spirit of Yah leads us from this here. Father Yah, we bless your name on today, and we just thank you for the blessedness of getting in your word and getting the understanding of it through many angles of truth. And we just bless you for that. We just look for the opportunity to keep growing in your word, and we just, again, thank you for all that you do in our lives. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. Okay, now, Proverbs 18, verse 21, we dealt with this on last week, so we'll just use this as a place to launch from, and then as Yah lead us in certain portions of understanding of this, then we'll deal with this accordingly, okay? Now, Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, when you look at death, it says basically natural or violent. That's just looking at the word itself. But when you associate it with the tongue, you can take these words or these definitions now and put them into a perspective of what the tongue actually does. I don't know what it is about my grandsons. Like, when I start talking, he started talking. He's like, he think I'm talking to him. So, but as you look at it from this perspective, looking at the definition of death, it extends from 4194, which also shows to die, kill, crying, dead, body, to put to worthy of death. And so when you look at death, it gives us those definitions to understand what it is. Now, that's just the word death by itself. And then when you look at the word life, and we'll come back to death, life means alive. It also says raw flesh because it's dealing with life, flesh, plant, water, year, strong, just dealing with the definition of life itself. But then as you continue, it says age, alive, appetite, company, congregation. Basically points out life, running, springing, okay? And so when you look at these two words outside of what it's associated with in this lesson, it just gives us the understanding of what death and life is from the definition of meaning. But when we continue on with the verse, it says there is power now, okay? Now, when we look at power, it says dominion, okay? Just looking at a few words, charge, coast, one specifically, dominion, pain, sore, state, okay? And so we're looking at it for what it is. It's power, okay? Death and life are in the power, are in the power, so... So as we again see these different definitions, I'm going to make it larger here so that we can see it. I'm going to see if it's going to give it to us. I'm going to just click on it. Yeah, I knew it was leaving out some definitions, and so. As we look at, again, power, it means a hand, okay? It also means direction, okay? Direction, dominion, because it was given dominion, but I knew it wasn't given all the direction. I mean, all of the definitions for it. You can also click on this one here, see if there's anything else, because I want to pull out the complete meaning of the definition. You look at the hollow hand of palm. So when you look at death and life are in the power palm. When something is in my palm, I had complete control over it. Okay? And that's why I wanted to look at the different variations of the word. The middle, death and life is in the palm of the tongue. Death and life is in the palm of the tongue. That means there's something about the tongue that causes death and life to be in, that causes it to be in complete control of death and life. Because it's in the palm again. We go back now. It's in the direction of, the power of, it's in the hand. Okay, meaning that the tongue has complete control over death and life. Now, again, when we looked at death and life in its pure form, death means it's pestilence. We know that it means natural or violent. You can have a natural death or a violent death. Concretely, it show you dead hell. It says Hades. Okay. It shows Hades from a perspective of the grave. But when you look at it from these definitions now, it starts to give us the power of the tongue. Now, when we look at tongue here, it means, you know, it's talking about the man or the animal as far as the tongue is concerned. But as you continue to run the definition, it says babbler, evil speaker, language, talker, tongue, wedge. So it could be language now. So when we go back now and look at it, it says death and life are in the palm of language. Language has the ability to cause death and or to cause life. It has the ability to cause death and life. And then it lets us know in the next set of words, the rest of the sentence, because the colon is there to let you know the results. It's saying they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Okay. When you look at the word, it's saying they that love it. It's ahad, which basically in a nutshell, it is from a perspective of intimacy. Okay, intimacy, because when you look at it, it says sexually or otherwise. Okay, so that's what this love is concerned. It means that someone who has affection for using their words, their language, and things like that. And so it shows that those that live by it or love it will experience the fruit or the reward of it. It's kind of like saying what you sow is what you reap kind of deal, okay? And so death and life are in the power of the tongue, verse 21, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, I kind of mess with Elder here, and he don't quite know where I'm going, but he'll be all right. He got a general idea. We had discussion because he was the one who initially started, you know, talking about these sounds and things like that. And so as he started to talk about these different sounds, y'all started to deal with me about sounds and numbers, because he had asked me, he said, you think we talked extensively about it. So you think that y'all would ever, you know, lead us to do a lesson on it? I was like, I don't know, you know. You know, if he does, then we will. If not, we won't. Well, that's why we're here, because, y'all led him to look at some things, and then we ended up discussing both sounds and numbers. Well, in our initial conversation, he talked about the positive perspective of sound. And this is where, as we look at it here, and we'll go down the sound again, and I read Proverbs 18 and 21, says death and life are in the power of the tongue, in the palm of language. Language has control over death and life. Yeah, you can use weapons to kill someone, but language can also do it. Words can do it. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, remember, as we dealt with sounds, and I'll just say this again, sound shapes our lives, whether good or bad. That's why death and life is in the palm of it. So words, sounds, not just word, but anything that comes in our ears, the senses, okay, anything that enter in our senses has the ability to affect our physical body. If I see something, if you see something, it can affect you. It can have an effect on you physically, because remember, when you see it, it communicates with your water molecular structure. And from it, from your eyes seeing something, it can cause a shift to happen in your body based upon tension. Remember when we talked about tension on last week? And so it's from that same perspective. So when you see something, it can cause tension. When you hear something, it can cause tension. When you touch something, it can cause tension. When you taste something, it can cause tension. When you smell something, it can cause tension. Or the opposite. It can release it. When you see something, it can release it. You see something that's positive and cause you to be happy, it releases tension. You hear something, it releases tension. You touch something, it releases tension. You smell something, it releases tension. Okay? You taste something, it releases tension. So sound, because it goes because it goes into one of our senses, it shapes our lives, whether good or bad. That's why, again, the scripture says, guard your heart with all diligence. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues. We'll just pull it up. We're kind of reviewing just a little bit. Proverbs 4, this is why we do it now. Proverbs 4, verse 22 says, keep. Keep means to guard. Guard thy heart, which is the mind. Okay, it's not just the one that pumps the blood. It's not what it's talking about. It's talking about understanding, wisdom, okay? Feelings. Your feelings is not in your heart that pumps the blood. Your feelings is in your mind. You can hurt my heart, my mind, okay? And so when you look at it, it's feelings, the will, and even the intellect. All this deal with the mind, that's the heart of the man in Scripture. That's why I always said, as long as y'all can use my heart, I'm fine. But the minute my brain is not working, I have no reason to be here. Because now y'all can't influence me for his glory. So the minute my mind is gone, I have no reason to be here whatsoever. That's why we want to guard it. You want to make sure that you do everything to take care of your mental state. That's why the system want to use sorcery in these last days, because the sorcery, which is pharmaceutical or drugs, will alter the state of the mind, thus causing now the water molecular structure to be changed. And when that changes, you end up doing anything, or we end up doing anything. Okay? So we guard it. You guard it by what you eat. You guard it by what you drink. You guard it by what you take in. So guarding the heart goes beyond just from a perspective of making sure, you know, we don't hear certain things. You guard it from anything that can enter into the gate. What you see can enter into your heart. What you hear can enter into your heart. What you taste can enter into your heart. I taste some food and I'll be like, I don't like that. It entered into my mind, my lab. I can touch something and I can like what I touch, or I cannot like what I touch. It enters in my lab. Okay? I can taste something. I can smell something. I can go, woo, it entered into my lab. And I say, ooh, that smells good. Or it enters into my lab, I'm saying it from a Hebrew perspective, my heart and my mind, and I say, ooh, I don't like that. So when the scripture says guard it, it is talking about from every realm that something can enter in. Guard your ear gate. Guard your eye gate. Guard your taste gate. Guard your touch gate. Y'all hearing it? What was the one I left out? I left one out. Hear, smell. Guard your smell gate. That's the one I left out. Guard the senses. Out of it flows the issues of life. So I'm broadening the understanding of it now. Okay? And so, again, we guard our heart with all diligence. Did you have something, Elder? Okay. I wanted to make sure, because I know how you look when you're ready to say something. I can just look at it. Keep thy heart, or guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, I want to remind you of issues now, issues of life. Now, when we look at issues, it means boundaries, the outgoings. Okay? We continue to run the reference on that word here. Yeah, I just wanted to see. In other words, things escape from there in a nutshell. Guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And you look at verse 24, put away from thee a froward mouth, and a perverse lip put forth from thee. Let thine eyes look. Notice that it's talking about the senses now. The eyes, the mouth. Okay? And that's why I deal with these things from that perspective now. And so as we look at it here, I'm going to drop out Proverbs 18, Are you ready to say anything right now?
Got a lot of stuff.
Well, go ahead, because I mean, you remember, you're the one that initially kind of did this, so just go wherever you want to go with it.
And just touching on some of the things that you just said, right? So it says guard your heart, but right, we come to understand that the heart is the mind. So like what you were saying, you know, for your mind, the mechanisms to get to your mind are like what you say through your senses, right? Mm-hmm. So I got a couple of scriptures I want to also deal with just real quickly. They're just one verse scriptures, but
what's the first one so I can pull it up?
So you dealt with the one, you know, keep thy heart with all diligence.
Okay, it's probably
all the issues of life, right?
Okay.
So, I mean, and it's in the vein of what you started out talking with initially about sound, right? So
okay.
So. It says, out of your heart are the issues of life, right? So it's guard your heart, right? I.e. guard what you see, what you hear, all those kinds of things, right?
Right.
So the next one that I want to tie that to is Matthew 12 and 34.
Let me get there. Do you still need Proverbs 4 up, or you want me to just drop it out? Okay. You said verse 34?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Matthew 12 and 34 says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Right? So there are a lot of dynamics going on here, right? So whatever you allow to get in your heart, that's what you're going to speak.
Let's deal with the word heart, just show us the same definition of meaning. The word heart in the New Testament, because it's Greek now, it's cardia, and it means heart, the thoughts and feeling, the mind, the same thing. It also says the middle. So it lets us know the palm, as I talked about. Death and life is in the power, the palm. And so it lets you know that that center, that mind, is the center of you. It is your central system that causes the rest of your body to function properly or improperly, okay? Go ahead now. Sorry.
So when you look at that, so in this example, it says, O generation of the vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Basically what he's saying is if evil is going on in the heart, you can't speak good things. And so it stems from everything being a heart issue. So that's why it's important to guard your heart, because whatever you allow to get in there, that's what you're going to speak. Which has very much significance for the next verse I want to give, and then I want to tie it all together. Proverbs 23, verse 7. But they all tie together.
Okay.
Which says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Then it goes on to say, eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. So basically what this is all saying, if you bring them all together, is this process. So I'll say it this way. When you come into this world, you are like a clean slate. You know, nothing has been positive or negative gone into you. Does that make sense? So, If negativity is what gets into your heart, then guess what? That's what you'll speak. And when you speak negative, then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. Then whatever a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Right. So it's like all of this stems from a battle from the mind, from this perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, to tie it all back to the subject matter of what we're dealing with, the sounds that you hear or go in, or what affect what's going on in your heart, right? So if you're around something negative all the time, and you don't have anything positive coming in your ear, eye, you know, nose, gate, if nothing positive is going in, then when a person comes around you, it's going to be negative.
Mm-hmm.
But vice versa, if you spend time with something positive, then that's what's going to come out. That's what you're going to reap a harvest on, right? And that's a powerful thing, right, that I think, you know, I, even say myself, I didn't always understand. You know, it's something that you don't understand, but you can see the results of it. Does that make sense? And so I think a lot of times what happens is these things are at play and people don't even know it. You're feeling fine, and then you come across somebody being negative, and that has an effect on you.
Because right.
if you're not guarding, and I was telling somebody on yesterday, it's almost like this. It's like what you said in the example you gave, I don't think today, but one other message in the sermon where you said, your uncle would always say, you lazy.
Right.
You ain't gonna never be nothing. Right. All those kind of things. That's a negative that's going in. And if you don't, your own self or somebody else don't negate that negative.
Because remember, when he would speak, I would speak to myself.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So if you don't negate that negative, then it sows a seed.
Mm-hmm.
And so all those things, all those words, whether they're positive or negative, are seed sown.
Mm-hmm.
Now, either you can deflect them or you can nurture them. Mm-hmm. One of the way, either good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like the example. And I'm
Now explain what you mean by nurture.
So to nurture it would be, and this is what I was saying to somebody on yesterday. When I say that word, you know, you lazy. Instead of saying, no, I'm not, you say, well, you know, I do kind of walk slow.
Right, like, right, say, right.
You know, I'm not really, I'm not really the best at this. I don't always do stuff first.
Right.
If you start nurturing that thought, then it starts to sprout.
It creates what that thought creates you.
Yeah,
it creates that.
It starts to manifest.
Right.
It starts to grow.
Right.
And so, like I was saying, as a baby, you're a clean slate, right? And so what people don't realize, the power of what they say, they can sow that seed into that child. If that child don't have no defense mechanism, then they may start to reap a harvest on what somebody said. And I think it's funny because when you look back at your life in general, you can remember a person said something to you 20 years ago.
Exactly. Or did something.
Yeah.
You know.
And that thing stuck with you, whether mm-hmm. that's good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
And you can reap a harvest on that, good or bad.
Mm-hmm. And you still got something? No, go ahead if
so
you do.
But I just think it's important. It's something I just don't think we understand. And so with that being said, I think it's important who you surround yourself with.
Uh-huh.
Not saying that you can't be around anybody negative, but if your positive ain't rubbing off on them.
Right.
The scripture says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And so over the course of time, one of those is going to win out.
And that agreement is a mental state.
Right.
A heart issue. Okay.
That was
good. Now, when you look at, I'm going to use the two passages that you mentioned. Matthew chapter 12, first to the left of the screen. It says, O generation of viper, how can ye being evil speak good things? So it's letting us know from this perspective, he's asking the question. He said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. In other words, what's in there is what your mouth is going to speak or what our mouth is going to speak. Then the next verse here, he says, a good man out of the good treasure of his mind bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. In other words, what we see on the outward expression of what a person say, it reveals what's going on the inside. Okay, it reveals what's going on the inside. Now, when you jump to Proverbs 23, verse 6 says, eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats, from a perspective of what you mentioned. In other words, be careful when you get around an individual who invites you to dinner, but their heart is not right. That's what that's saying. Then it says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. He'll say, eat. He'll say, drink. He'll say these things to thee, but his mind doesn't mean you any good. Okay, and that's why it says that in that passage here, and it starts out because the colon lets you know this individual's mindset. He thinks a certain way, and what he says, he doesn't mean what he says. Okay, eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats, For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he, to thee, but his heart is not with thee. So it tells us, as Elder pointed out, be careful with what you hang around with, because it may look good on the outside, but there's something going on the inside that lets you know something is not right. Okay? And so that's why he gives the warning from a perspective. You know, I've been invited to events and things like that, and I would turn these events down. Matter of fact, there's a bishop, a bishop that called me, when was that, Thursday. There's a bishop that called me this past Thursday, and what he said to me was, hey, you know, I was passing by your building, and I was on my way to work out at the gym, by the way, which is nowhere close to our street, that the street that our building is on. And he started telling me all these things he would see. Yeah, I see some men and stuff, you know, out there on your property. And I was just wondering, giving you a phone call, because I was wondering do you know who they are? Now, when you look at it on the outward experience, the outward expression, you would say this guy is coming across as if he's concerned about us. But when you look at it from the perspective of what's going on with his mental state, I knew all he was trying to do was gather information to give to people that don't mean us any good. So he approached it like the same way verse 6 says, and verse 7 says. He approached it from eat and drink, saith he. I mean you well. I'm calling because I mean you well. But the scripture proved, and from what I discerned going on with his mind, his heart wasn't with us. Because not only did he end up revealing, you know, out of the abundance of his heart, he would start speaking. And you know, the scripture said that tongue is hard to tame. Find that, Elder. The tongue is a little member. That's what you're looking for. Little member is the word. And so because his little member, he could control it. Spirit of Yah controls that little member. None of us can control it. It takes Yah. So because he couldn't control it, he started revealing too much information. Yeah, I passed by there. Oh, you pass by here all the time. So this ain't about you going to the gym and you just happen to come through here kind of deal. Your heart is speaking. Your mouth is speaking what's going on in your heart. So as you continue to say these things, you let me know, man, what's really going on with your heart. And I just cut him real short and say, I'll talk to you later. Been treating him with a long-handled spoon even before he made the phone call, because I knew that his heart, in other words, as Elder pointed out, Amos 3:3, I knew that we could not walk together unless we agree. Quit trying to hang out with folks that you don't agree with. I'm just going to keep trying to make it work. Why you keep trying to make it work and you know that there's not agreement? I got family I don't agree with. I got friends I don't agree with. So I did say friends and family that I don't agree with. So there are a whole lot of other people that I don't agree with. So if we can't agree, I ain't walking. I don't want to walk.
Then come follow you, and he said, let the dead bury the dead. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where, okay, they ain't on the same page with what we do. So it's better for you to let that, leave it alone and come with me than to stay there with that and then deny what's going on over here.
What he was saying in a nutshell, when he said, let the dead bury the dead, he was basically uncovering this guy's heart. And he was coming to the conclusion that, look here, man, are you going to let any situation cause you to have to leave the kingdom to go do something else? Let the dead bury the dead. In other words, what this is about is kingdom. And if you're going to allow circumstances to cause you to have to focus on it more than the kingdom, then you go do what you got to do. That's what he's saying in a nutshell. That's why he said it from that perspective. Let the dead bury the dead. You know, to point out, man, when you grab this plow, so to speak, you got to be serious about it. And you got to be willing to do whatever it takes. And you got to put whatever is necessary on the back burner in order to bring the will of the kingdom to pass. And a lot of people don't understand that. Everybody has goals. I have goals. But what I'm saying in this from a nutshell from the scripture that you just quoted, Elder, is are we willing to let the dead bury the dead? Are you willing to put your own agenda aside in order to carry out Yah's plan? All of us have goals. All of us have plans. All of us want to do certain things. But Yah said, when you're dealing with me, all your goals, all your agenda, everything about you has to be set aside. Let your dead bury the dead. Let the dead bury the dead. Let those who are not kingdom-minded be concerned about the things you're concerned about. Because the things that we're concerned about, Yah said, these things are not kingdom. So let the dead be concerned about those things. You be concerned about that of the kingdom. That's what that's really about, okay? And so, again, verse 6, Proverbs 21. You had something, Proverbs 23? James 3 and 5. Is there anything else? So I'll read Matthew 12, the rest of it, and then I'll get out of it. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the treasure of treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word, look at the word owl. The word owl means unemployed, lazy, non-productive. Every owl word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Thus Proverbs 18 and 21, they that love it shall live by it. Proverbs 18:21. I'll pull it up again. Go ahead if you had something.
I think that scripture right there is powerful when you think about it in the context of everything that we're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. So we're talking about the power of the tongue and even in the context of things we talked about up until this point, what you say to people has an effect, right? Mm-hmm. So this scripture is basically saying this is so powerful that every idle word that you say, you're going to have to give an account for. If I told you, oh, you lazy, boy, you ain't gonna never beat mountain nothing. Mm-hmm. Well, is that on the same page with what y'all is doing? If right. It's not, then you're gonna have to give account for that someday. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think if people understand, and stuff just coming to me now.
Go ahead.
It's almost like, I think that's why the scriptures say, even a fool will seem wise if he holds his tongue. Or things like, be quick to listen and slow to speak. Mm-hmm. All these kinds of things, because when you speak idly like that, it has repercussions. It has effects on the people that you speak those things to.
Mm-hmm.
It's better not to say nothing than to say something, I guess, from this context, I guess, negative.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you look at verse 36, Proverbs 12, verse 36, it says, but I say unto you that every idle word men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Now, when you look at Proverbs 18, verse 21, it gives you a clearer meaning of what Matthew 12, verse 36 is saying, really saying to us. Now, Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. When you look at they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof, in other words, we will get the harvest of it. Verse 36 is saying, of Matthew 12 is really saying the same thing. Yah saying to us through Christ, verse 36 of Matthew 12, to the left of the screen. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. It didn't say that was the last day. It means there's a day of reckoning coming by what you say. So that reckoning may be tomorrow. Their judgment may be tomorrow. Y'all said everything you said, you're going to have to give an account of it. There is a reckoning that comes with what's being said. Okay? And so, yeah, there'll be some things that we'll have to deal with standing before Yah in the last day. But Yah said, what you sow is what you reap. In this day. That's why it's vitally important for us to understand. So he says, again, verse 36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Yeah, it can be talking about some things as far as the white throne judgment is concerned. But at the same time, there are some things that you can say that it'll come back around and bite you tomorrow. That's why Proverbs 18 verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Y'all just show me this here, and I'll pull up this scripture. Elder, was there anything else you wanted to say on these two passages? Okay, I'll exit out now. And so here's what Yah said. We're going to look at the example as far as Job is concerned to show you that what he thought, and what he spoke, he got the day of judgment on it. Okay, I'm trying to remember where it, which word it says it. I'm gonna have to search it because I know it's in Job, but I don't know exactly where. I think it's in chapter 3 or 4. Chapter 3, verse 25. Okay, now, look what Job says. And I'll pull up, what was that, Matthew 12? I'm going to pull up Matthew 12 to show you that judgment happens, can happen in our lifetime. Okay, now, but verse 36, we'll look at verse 36 and then we'll look at verse 25 of Job chapter 3. Job chapter 3, here's what Job said. When all this information is brought to Job, Job said, for the thing which I greatly fear, where is fear located? Mine. Job said, for the thing that I greatly feared, the thing that was going on, we're going to look at the word fear. The word fear means to be afraid of, stand in awe, thing that make me shake. It's fear, so we understand it. He said, for the thing that I greatly feared has come up on me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. Job was thinking things. I'll show you how he was thinking things. I'm going to keep that verse, and I'm going to pull up another Bible that deals with Job. Now, Job 1 verse 5 said, and it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offering according to the number of them all. For Job said, mental state. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed Yah in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. Job was constantly making sacrifices for his kid because he was afraid that they were going to go against the will of Yah. From Job doing that on a constant basis, it opened up the door for the enemy, Satan, to challenge him based upon Yah allowing him to do it. When all of this happened, you read chapters 1, 2, and 3. When all this happened, Job says this, for the thing which I greatly feared, this right here, Job 1, verse 5. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. What was the word you used early, Elder, when we said, when we take something and we nourish it or something like that? Nurture it. When we nurture it, Job was nurturing that and got what he was nurturing. okay? So it's vitally important for us to understand these things. So when we look at it here, it is the same thing. Verse 36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, Job was speaking idle words. Job 1. There was no sign that his children were doing something they didn't have no business doing, but Job kept speaking these idle words, and he had to give an account for it. Got something?
Yeah, I like verse 37.
Okay. 12. Okay, yeah, we was heading that way. Go ahead and read it.
For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned.
Exactly. Now, when you look at the word justified, the word justified means to render innocent, to render just or innocent, righteous, or condemned. When you look at the word condemned, it means guilty, condemned. You can run a reference on the word. You can run a reference on that word. I'm doing the wrong thing. The reference on that word, just kind of look at some different meanings. They're pretty much the same. So when you look at those words, it points out how we can be justified or condemned, and that's what happened. Job was condemned by the things that he said. It opened up the door. We don't want to open up doors to certain things. Job had this going on in his mind, and that's why Yah asked Satan, he said, have you considered my servant Job? He's a righteous man. Satan was like, yeah, I can't touch him because you got this hedge about it. Okay. Yah lowers the hedge. Satan goes in, kills his kids. Kills his animals and things like that. And Job was like, the very thing I feared the most, he was nourishing it. Very thing I've been nourishing has come upon me. That's why we guard our hearts with all diligence, okay? Now, we'll move back to the right of the screen here, the notes here. Sounds, we understand. Now, sounds shape our lives, whether good or bad. That's what we hear. You had something?
Yeah,
go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, you're not there yet.
Okay. Sounds shape our lives, whether good or bad. We understand that now. There are types of sounds now. So we look at these sounds. There are types of music. Remember when I said when I'm working out, I want to be aggressive? So I put on the 80s rap songs. You know, that's why I came up in the 80s when, you know, all these, you know, rappers and things like that was in the 80s and they had a beat and stuff like that. And so I like that. And so when I'm working out, you know, and you know, not talking to you know, people and things like that, when I'm kind of by myself, isolated, I put in that music and I want to hear that beat because it causes me to have an aggression toward those weights. Now, I don't want that beat anywhere. I don't listen to it in any city. When I get with y'all, I don't want to hear that. There's another sound that I want to hear. Back in the day when I was playing football, before we would come out on that field, that band would play a certain sound. When they played that certain sound, it was going down. We got the bouncing up and down and got the jumping and screaming and stuff like that because we finna go to war. Even when our nation, when there was war getting ready to go down, there was a certain sound of the chauffeur that let them know it's time to go to war. And when our nation heard that sound, they started to get aggressive and to get ready to go into battle. There were certain sounds that the women would make with the tambourines and things like that when Yah was sending our nation in the war, and they would send the singers and the dancers before the army because it would get our people in a certain mindset to know that this battle is not ours, but it's Yah's. So types of music. That's why I don't even listen to types of Christian music because the sound is not right. It doesn't cause my spirit, my mind now to turn to Yah. Most of the sounds that you hear in Christian music today is designed to make you feel good. It ain't no different from the sound that's in the club. Because you want to stomp and dance and dip and dab and, you know, and do the drop it while it's hot and all that right there in church service. Because that's the sound that's coming out. It don't make you want to get on your knees and worship Yah. The sound that's coming from Christian music nowadays is making you want to dance just like you in the club. Because sound influences the mental state and it causes that body to release tension or to cause tension in certain areas, whether good or bad. That's why I very seldom listen to Christian music now, because the sound is not right. So I just put it on 105.7 and listen to the same sound. At least they ain't playing. Did y'all hear what I just said? I'd rather listen to secular music because it's the same sound than to listen to the sound in the church. It's giving off the same beat, the same vibe. Got you thinking the same way. So let me just listen to Luther. Well, I gotta listen to Kurt Franklin. I can just listen to Luther and feel the same way. Well, I gotta listen to Kurt sing Stomp when I can just go to the club and hear the same music and stomp? You see how the enemy is using sound to infiltrate the church, and it ain't nothing spiritual about whatever here. What I'm talking about spiritual that causes us to look to Yah. We looking at each other rocking saying, yeah, man, shoot, heck yeah. Ain't no different from the club. The club is in the church. So church folks don't have to go to the club no more. They say, shoot, man, I'm going to the church. Man, you see how that crowd, that choir rocking? Same thing. Ain't nobody looking up. We looking at each other. Sounds are designed in the kingdom to get us prepared for the presence of Yah. Now we know why Yah is not showing up to a lot of these services that you see all over the world. Because the sound is not right. Because the sound is not preparing the people's heart to be ready to receive from the Almighty Yah, the Most High God. So types of sounds, we got to be careful. We got to guard the heart with all diligence. Types of sound cause you to see types of movement in people. Now that sound now is entered into your heart. Now you're watching the way certain people are moving and it's entered into your heart. Before you know it, people start bumping and touching one another. And you know, before you know it, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on in the church that shouldn't be going on. And it all started from the way that everybody was lacking, the way everybody was moving based upon the sound that wasn't coming from Yah or getting people prepared for Yah in the first place. It's vitally important that we operate according to the wisdom of Yah in understanding these sounds. Is you ready for it now, elders? Anything you need to deal with? Or you want me to keep going? Okay. Even as far as the news media is concerned, I don't watch the news. The sound is negative. When was the last time you heard the news media talk about something positive? They'll program your mind to get ready and to always be in tension mode. Such and such got killed and such and such thing. Why don't you tell me about this man who saved 100 people? Matter of fact, I'm trying to think. I watched a video that someone had put on Facebook. They actually inboxed me that talked about Denzel Washington coming to San Antonio because there's some kind of facility there for people, for families, when servicemen have been injured, they're able to come in and stay around those, their loved one who's been injured in war. And there's housing, some type of housing or hotel or something that's provided for these people at a really good price. Well, Denzel comes there and he visits the place and he asks how much those units cost, and they told him. And he went, he sent a check and paid for some of those units to be built for families to be able to come and be around their loved ones when they've been injured in war. But nobody heard about that. From what that information was saying is that one newspaper reported it, and it was a local newspaper in San Antonio, and it was a small news media newspaper, a small one. One reported that good news. The system don't want you hearing good sounds. So they want you to just concentrate on murder, destruction, disaster. And they feed us that to the point to where that's all we want to eat on. Let me turn on the news and see who died today. Let me turn on the news and see what kind of earthquake or what tornado. Always information that is designed to cause tension. So I don't pay attention to them. I don't watch them. That's why a lot of time I'll be like, what happened? Because, man, I'm tired of y'all just, and a lot of it is propaganda anyhow. It's amazing how the same news people think that it's vitally important to talk about Beyonce got her hair did. That's news. I did say did. Beyonce got her hair did in a new, and she had a new coloring in it. All the news people talking about Beyonce got her hair did. Man, nobody cares about Beyonce hair. Huh? But because our minds are being programmed to that, people start to care about our hair and for no reason whatsoever. Now you got everybody getting their hair did like Beyonce. Because it's all about control.
What about the wind coming
through? About
the
who? Wind. Exactly.
They gonna run it out on TV.
Exactly. Man, I'm coming about no wedding.
If you ain't guarding your heart, then that seed will get sown in there for you to care about that.
Exactly.
For you to nurture that.
Exactly. Thus, you had something? Go ahead. Thus, they keep separating us through color. They put things out there and it causes us to be divided. And so you got a lot of people thinking that, you know, you got white folks thinking that black folks against them. You got black folks thinking that white folks against them. And you got Mexican folks thinking that black and white folks against them. And so everybody's over in their own corner thinking everybody's against them because the system want to divide and conquer. And you got some people out there that are good, just plain good people. But they happen to get on wrong sides and things like that because they sitting up there listening to certain people who are sowing these negative sounds into their lives. And now they sitting up here taking side and they ain't really want to know nobody's side. That's why I stand back and look at it all. I don't care what color it is. If it's crazy, it's crazy. Some stuff I look at, I be like, shoot, I'd have shot that rascal too. Then in some situation, I look at it and be like, man, that's just wrong. Because I look at right and wrong. I don't look at who doing it. I be like, man, if that joker needs to shut his mouth. Shut your mouth, man. That's why they slap you upside the head. That's why you're all down on your face screaming, hollering, you know, Black Lives Matter, because you won't shut your mouth. Shut up and learn how to say yes, sir, and no, sir, sometime. And then on the other hand, there are people who are respectful and they're treated wrongly. You got to learn how to balance that. But if all you do is look at black and white, all you're going to see is black and white. You're going to jump on your black or white side regardless if it's right or wrong. I don't operate like that. Because I don't listen to the sound. I listen to what is right. I follow what is right. Indeed, we are cattle. I say that as a whole, because anytime you let something influence your mind to the point where it causes you to think something that you claim you're really not, that's crazy. Black lives do matter. White lives do matter. All lives do matter. But it ain't the right time to say it when something else, so when one of the lives have been taken. It's time for you to be in agreement when a black life is taken and you said that's wrong, that black life matter. Don't come with me with no all lives matter when a black person has been killed. Don't come to me with no all lives matter when a white person has been killed. or any color, Mexican, whatever. Don't come to me with all your different lives matter. Let's concentrate on that life. But the system uses us with all that drama to keep us divided so that when they come and start cracking us upside the head for real, we not together enough to do anything about it. So these things are vitally important for us to understand, okay? News media, all these different sounds are out there that brings around, that brings about positive or negative energy. Okay? You have anything else? You lost how I hate you, Lord. Bring it back, Lord. Okay. And so again, it's vitally important for us to understand these things, y'all, and we have to operate accordingly. As you look at these different sounds here, it shows when there's positive music. I told you I listen to classical music a lot because it has positive tones. Even as a kid, there are certain tones that would be in cartoons and things like that that would get us uplifted and laughing. Now there are certain sounds and tunes that's in these cartoons and sending subliminal messages that's designed to pervert things. That you can see drawings. They draw things a certain way because they want it to go in your ear, your eye gate. All these things are happening to get the mind in a certain position as far as the sound is concerned. Okay.
Person can be a good person, mm-hmm. and still not make it in heaven, mm-hmm. because of the, I think we talked about the, when push came and shove,
right?
They went, you know, went the other direction, and so I think part of the root of those things are these kinds of seeds that get sown into a person when they're not guarding their heart, right? Mm-hmm. So you got all these seeds being sown for you to care about the wrong stuff, mm-hmm. and so when push comes to shove, you fall back on what's in there because that's what's there. Does
right.
That make sense?
Right.
So if
it's been nourished enough to the point to where it actually shaped you to be what
correct.
That is.
Correct.
Right. So for an example, an individual, whether black or white or whatever race that they classified us as, we just all human. But an individual who sincerely is not prejudiced turns that way because they have been programmed to take a side instead of just looking at it from a perspective of right and wrong. I don't care who you are. I got a close relationship with the police department. So no, you're not gonna cause me to look at every officer as evil. I got a close relationship with people who are police officers. We get a lot of support from police officers, even as far as our project is concerned. So you're not gonna program me into believing that every officer is bad. But at the same time, I know there are some bad ones. I've seen the things that some of them have done. Now, officers have to understand that as well as the community. Officers got to be able to look at guys and say, okay, I work with you and we're peers, but man, you wicked. And I'm not going to let you get away with that stuff. That's righteousness. But like what Elder said, when you take good people and they allow this stuff to be nourished in their heart, their mind, then they'll sit there and jump on a side and know that it's wrong. You know it was wrong, and you still sit there and agree with it because you trying to jump on all the white folks' side or you trying to jump on all the black folks' side. No, right is right and wrong is wrong, and right and wrong don't have no color. And if you want to stand for God, you got to stand for right or wrong. What I mean by right or wrong, you got to call it when it's right and you got to call it when it's wrong. That's righteousness. Other than that, like what Elder said, you'll be a good person on your way to hell because when push comes to shove, you'll jump on wrong side with your righteous self. We got to do it the right way, y'all. Y'all looking for people who's going to worship him in spirit and in truth is going to stand there for right or stand against wrong, and it doesn't matter who's doing it. Thus, I look at some black people who are doing stuff just as wrong. I'd be like, that joker crazy. He came in my front door, I'd have shot his behind too. Then I look at some circumstance, I'll be like, that white person is crazy. He'd have come to my front door, I'd have shot that rascal too. Because I don't look at it from a perspective of what color you are. It's just right and wrong. Truth has no color. Truth is just truth. And when people quit being programmed by these different sounds, whether they're coming through our eyes, our ears, our taste, our smell, and our touch, our senses, that causes this tension, whether positive or negative, when people allow things to be influenced the way that Yah intended, then we can experience some wonderful things here on earth. So guard your heart with all diligence. I don't let crowds influence me. That's why I say I'm willing to stand all by myself. When it comes down to truth, I will stand by myself. I don't need nobody to stand with me when it comes down to truth. I just stand on truth. Okay? You had anything else, Elder? Okay, we'll end with Proverbs 4, verse 23. This is why it's vitally important. Keep thy heart, keep thy mind, guard your mind with all diligence. Because out of it are the issues of life. Guard your heart. Everything that is good, everything that's lovely, everything that's of a good report, think on these things. Think on these things. Okay? We good? Any questions, comments? We good? All right, I'm going to go ahead and close from now. Father Yah, we just bless your name, and we thank you for revealing to us divine numbers and sounds that we do realize that everything comes from you, and we have to adjust our lives to line up with your will in every facet of our life. And we just glorify you for that. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.